Special Agent Mulder, the FBI. And who are these two fine representatives of the city of brotherly love?
Welcome back, everybody, to The X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, as ever, and this is our first set of coverage for episode 4 of season 10, Home Again. And I am delighted to be joined once again for an exploration of this episode by Mr. Andrew Brooker.
Hello.
How are you, mate? You all right?
I am good, thank you, mate. I'm good.
Superb. Superb. This is over halfway into the mini-series now.
In the final stretch now, aren't we?
We are. I had a moment today where I thought, Jesus, it's nearly finished, and I've just got into it.
Yeah.
Like we've said before on the previous shows, six is not enough, I don't think.
No. It should work if every episode is as golden as the first couple. It should be enough to keep us going for a few rewatches.
Mm.
But yeah, it needs to end strong now, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Home Again, obviously, is a episode by Glenn Morgan, written and directed by Glenn Morgan, and it was originally supposed to be the second episode of the season, straight in after the premiere, but it was delayed and put back. And in this first one of our little bit of coverage, we're going to talk about Glenn Morgan and his longtime producing partner, James Wong, as we get into a little bit about Home Again and what we thought of it. But we have had a little bit of reaction on Twitter, as we always do. Our first bit of reaction when we put out about Home Again was from Dana Scully Mulder, at Dana Scully Mulder.
What a fan, then.
I suspect so. She, I presume she, but I may be wrong, I apologise if I am, said, "Can't watch it, too hard to watch. Plus seeing two brothers not be there for their sister, I want to slap the snot out of them."
Okay.
Which, I suspect that was being tweeted as the episode was on.
Yeah.
We've got a few more reactions to come over the next couple of episodes of coverage, but the reaction to Home Again has been decidedly mixed. What did you think of this one, Andrew? That's either a creepy noise or a noise of indifference.
Yeah, it doesn't quite work when you can't see my face and the face I'm putting it. Just, no, it was, I actually thought it was quite a bad episode.
Right, okay.
I mean, up there with some of the worst ones previously, it just felt so disjointed, and I don't think it quite knew what it wanted. Or what it wanted to be, which is a real shame, because the premise is of a really good monster episode. And it's written and directed by the guy that done Squeeze.
Mm.
You know, this thing should be amazing. It just didn't. No, there's no payoff whatsoever with this episode.
Yeah, I think that's been a little bit of a consensus, really, from what I've picked up on the social media and among X-Files fans. I wrote a review earlier, a written review, on thebottleepisode.co.uk, which I've been writing episode reviews, as you probably know by now.
And they are very good, actually. I read them after we're done recording.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very nice of you. Those reviews have pretty much been glowing for my struggle fan as Mutation, especially Mulder and Scully Meet the Weird Monster, which I think everybody loved, really, except Paul Field.
Except Paul.
But this one was the first one where I said, yeah, it's a disappointment, because I think disjointed is exactly the phrase I would use that you've said, which is,
yeah.
The problem I had was that I think there's two strong episodes here, but they're not supposed to be together.
No.
And I think that it was a case of possibly, and as I put in my written review, the cynic in me thinks that they moved this on purpose because they knew it wasn't up to snuff, because they decided that they wanted to get a whole section of emotional development for Scully and have everything happen to Mom and everything. And they wanted to do that, but they didn't know where it fit. And they decided to wedge it with Home Again. And the result is just, I wouldn't say it's a mess, but I just think it's misconceived. Basically.
Yep. I'd agree with that. I mean, when you watch it, I'm genuinely glad, actually, that this wasn't episode 2, like it was supposed to be.
Mm.
I think we would have been looking at a whole different series. We'd have been watching the episodes afterwards very differently, I think.
Mm.
You know, I don't know what they were thinking. There was no need to bring Scully's mum back, I don't think. You know, we were perfectly content without it. And they clearly couldn't get all the actors back, because her brother was on nothing but the phone.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm hoping by the time we're done talking about these episodes, I'm hoping I understand it a bit better, because at the moment I'm confused as to what I've just watched.
Well, they always had a weird thing with Scully's brothers as well, because you always saw, obviously, Scully's mom, played by Sheila Larkin, who appeared throughout the whole run, really. You saw her brother Bill, who's played by an actor called Pat Skipper, for about two seasons or so, and then he was referenced and you never saw him again.
Yeah.
And then she had, obviously, there was Melissa, who sadly died, but she played quite a key role. But then there was another brother called Charles, who we do hear for the first time. This is the first time we've ever heard his voice. Right, and we've always known about Charles. He's always been there, but he's still not been seen on screen, and this was the first time we ever heard his voice. And to my mind, the first time we ever knew he was estranged from her mother as well. That feels like it's just been thrown in there, and probably because they'd never really done anything with Charles. It always just seemed very strange, the way they dealt with Scully's brothers.
I get the feeling that the thing with Charles in this episode, I think it was supposed to have more impact on us, the people watching it, than it actually had.
Yeah.
You kind of get this feeling when you're watching it and, you know, this Charles is mentioned. You know, they clearly thought that we were going to go, oh, wow, they're bringing Charles into it. Finally, we're going to find out what's going on, you know. But I didn't care.
Yeah. exactly. That was the whole thing. It was, we'll get into this more when we talk about Mulder and Scully, but I didn't even get the point, really, with Charles in the end, because it wasn't really the point it was trying to make.
No.
It was just a lot of points and everything to it that just didn't seem to make any sense to me in terms of what they were building towards and what they were trying to do. So I was
it
just
felt
like,
very shoehorned.
It did, yeah, it did, and it felt like it was trying to make a point. But I don't know. I just felt like it just didn't really work, and it didn't work at all in the context of the actual episode itself, which was so frustrating because I think there was potentially a classic monster story here, because the monster, and we will talk more in depth about the monster later, but the monster is really good, I think, and I think it's just quite a shame that he doesn't quite get his due.
Yeah, I think the monster was a good idea. I don't think he was executed quite as it should have been, and I think a lot of that is possibly down to the fact that half the episode has to be dedicated to what's going on at the hospital. So we don't get much time to have him explained and get a bit more time with the monster.
Yeah.
But because of that, I don't think it didn't fall quite right for me. There were some glaring issues for me with the monster, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. But it, I wanted it to be really cool. Not quite. And I think it should be mentioned, you know, you and me have been sitting there for weeks going, this episode's called Home Again. I feel really fucking ripped off now.
Well, it's funny because I was going to bring this up because obviously in previous episodes you've talked about how much you wanted it to be a sequel to Home, which was probably Morgan and Wong's most infamous episode. Probably an argument would be said their best as well, among many people. And obviously most people would have immediately assumed because, you know, I think we've talked before as well about how, I think in the Home episode we did, we talked about how Fox said they couldn't have a sequel when they were running Millennium in season two.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been one of those things that for years people have said, well, when are we going to see the Peacocks again? You know, and everything. So I can completely understand your frustration that you got a story. it was really, there has to be a little bit of trolling the fan base with this.
Oh, there absolutely is. And I do partially blame myself because I'd done the stupid thing and went and looked at the list of episode names. And then got all excited. If I'd have just left it alone and watched the episode, I don't think I'd have been half as disappointed as I was.
It's true.
But, you know, I have to admit, by the part right up to the title sequence, I was interested. Even after you realise it's clearly not the Peacocks. Once you get up to the title, I message you, and I went, fucking hell, that's, holy shit, this is going to be good. No.
I know that the pre-credits sequence was great. Actually, it felt like old school, dark, weird, creepy, and then fucking horrifying X-Files. Just the way he just rips the guy apart.
But then we had not quite the level of gruesomeness that we had at the beginning of Home, but we had that level of violence that you expected from it. And you know, like I say, even though we didn't get the Peacocks back, I was okay. I might be able to forgive you for this. I'm up for this. Let's see where this goes. And it fell flat after the titles, sadly.
So what went wrong then, really? I mean, if we just track back a little bit to Morgan and Wong, and obviously Wong wasn't involved in this, so I'm not really blaming him. Founder's Mutation, which James Wong did on his own, was a much superior piece of work, really, and you can see why they swapped this around. But, you know, Morgan and Wong, really, if you look at them collectively, have some of the greatest pedigree of any X-Files writers. In season one, they wrote probably, apart from the season finale, they probably wrote the best episodes overall. They wrote Squeeze, they wrote Shadows, Ice, Beyond the Sea, which this has a lot of links to in some respects.
Yeah.
EBE, Tombs. And then in season two, they wrote Little Green Men, they wrote Blood, they wrote One Breath, which this has a lot of callbacks to as well. And then, obviously, they wrote Die Hand, Die Valets, which a lot of people don't consider a classic, but I love that one.
I love that one. I think that's great.
It's bonkers. It's great. And then they didn't write anything in season three, but then they came back for season four and wrote Home, obviously, and The Field Where I Died, which is a bit hit and miss. Then they wrote The Great Musings of a Cigarette Smoking Man, which is just beautifully mad.
I really like that episode.
Oh, I love that. A lot of people hate that one, but I think it's brilliant. It's a real romantic lie, basically. And then Never Again, which was the talking tattoo, Jodie Foster as the talking tattoo. And that was the last one they wrote, because then they went off and did Millennium. And then, I mean, for me, they wrote, they show ran the second season of Millennium, which for me is far and away the best season of that show.
Yeah.
And they did some amazing things. You know, they wrote some amazing episodes like The Curse of Frank Black and The Hand of Saint Sebastian and Owls and Roosters. They were some really great mythology. So when you look back at all that great pedigree, and some of the, they wrote some of the classic X-Files moments over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Was it James Wong? You know, was it was it him?
You think maybe he just crumbled under the pressure a little bit?
Maybe. Or was he told to put all that stuff in about Scully? Did he originally come up with the monster idea, and then did Chris Carter say, right, well, we need to get all this Scully stuff done?
That, I think, would be a good explanation. And I suppose, do we have to wonder, has it been edited again since they changed the order, so it doesn't run quite right?
Maybe, but because if you notice, I don't know if you noticed, but the moment you first see Mulder and Scully, you see them with their FBI badges going, Mulder and Scully, FBI. Now, to me, that was a perfect example of why this was originally episode two, because you've gone from the end of My Struggle, where they're being told to come back into the FBI, and the first time you see them is FBI badges in your face. We're back.
Yep.
And there was nothing like that in Founder's Mutation, obviously. So in a way, you can kind of see the join, I think.
Yeah. And I do wonder if they've recut the episode, you know, after they decided to change the order to, I don't know, take bits out. Obviously not add anything in, because they'd have had to go back and do reshoots, but maybe take bits out that should have been there. I mean, like I say, it just feels disjointed. It feels like there's bits of story missing. It feels like there should be scenes explaining what's going on that just aren't there anymore.
A good example of that, I think, is the ending, where the case involving the Trash Man literally just ends.
It just stops.
There's no resolution. There's not even a scene of Mulder sort of wrapping everything up. You know, we're used to, like, things never being quite explained, but there's no resolution of it all being wrapped up. It's just cut to the funeral, effectively.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, well, this is obviously going to be the last scene, unless there's a tag scene with the monster. Is that really the end? I thought it was quite bad, actually. I thought it was very amateurish.
I think it did come off very... I want to say it came off very season one, but no, they didn't do anything that bad in season one. You know, you could forgive them in 1993 doing something like that when they didn't quite know what they were doing.
Mm.
20 years later, no, it is close to an unforgivable ending.
Yeah.
And someone needs to come out and explain what the bloody hell happened.
Mm.
I get the feeling that what we're actually going to end up with is let's call it a director's cut when it comes out on Blu-ray.
It's possible. I think there's definitely going to be some deleted scenes.
Something just doesn't sit right about
the
way the episode flows. It's just so badly broken.
Mm. Doesn't quite work, does it? And I think it's a shame as well, because one thing that I did put in my written review, which I felt, was that Glenn Morgan did capture the dark gothic, sort of new gothic look and feel of the show better than we've seen yet, actually, in this revival. You know, in terms of the visuals, there were some really great things going on. Things like the, you know, them going into that abandoned building, and you, at one point you see the torches cross into an X as they're walking down the corridor. That was wicked. And then when they're saying, you know, I used to climb stairs in 3-inch heels, and back in the day, is now.
Yeah.
which is just wicked dialogue, you know. But it just felt like there wasn't nearly enough of that. You spent far too long in the hospital with a story that didn't really go anywhere particularly. It was well acted by Gillian Anderson, and it was quite powerful, and we'll talk more about Scully and everything later, but it just felt like, well, visually it would look really good. There was some really bold horror in there, but it just wasn't enough.
No, I mean, the horror bits actually, they really did remind me of Squeeze and Tombs.
Yeah.
When they're going around the old building on Exeter Street, and when they're crawling around in the basement and that, when they go downstairs and they're going through all those tunnels and that, it felt like old X-Files horror.
Mm.
And it felt brilliant. And there, you could feel his fingerprints were all over those bits of that episode. And it felt really, really good. But I don't know what went wrong.
it's odd. I'm not sure. But, yeah, a little bit of an overall disappointment, really. And let's just hope that Morgan and Wong are going to write Babylon, which is the next one, together. So yeah. Let's hope they bring their A game for the next episode before Chris Carter comes back for My Struggle 2.
Yeah.
We can hope so. Maybe as a combined force, they were always better together. So maybe they'll come up with a real cracker next week. We will see. Before we go in this little episode, we've got a little bit of good news, actually, in terms of British viewing figures. And I don't know if you saw this, Andrew.
I didn't see it, no, because it was Monday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Monday night in the UK, My Struggle premiered. On Channel 5, which we talked about not so long back, about being a channel that not many people tend to watch. But however, according to viewing figures, it picked up 3.5 million viewers.
Well, that is not bad.
For Channel 5, and considering that in the UK, on BBC One, Doctor Who pulls in 8 million, and that's considered a big success these days.
Yeah.
You know, we're long past the days where on UK TV we used to have Christmas specials of things picking up 25, 30 million viewers. It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
So to get 3.5 million on a channel nobody watches on a Monday night.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
It's pretty good. So if you're British, well done. Okay? Because, the more international figures will totally count in terms of them getting another run. So brilliant. That's good news, isn't it?
It is good news. Actually, it's a very good episode for word of mouth as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's to hoping next week it just keeps going up.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
And here's to hoping we get everybody hooked
before they
get to home again.
Yes, just watch Mulder and Scully meet the Weir Monster. Skip this one and then go straight to Babylon. And let's hope Babylon is good. But we'll find out next week. Okay, we'll be back for more musings on Home Again. Remember, if you've got any thoughts on Home Again or any of the previous episodes, don't hesitate to drop us a line and let us know on Twitter or at thexcast@gmail.com or on Facebook at thexcast, and let us know what you think, and we will read out your thoughts on the show. So, until next time, thanks, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
And remember, guys, trust no one.